WMRA News. I'm Bob Levicky. Shenandoah National Park officials suspect a norovirus outbreak along the Appalachian Trail is infecting some hikers. The case against the Natural Bridge Zoo will be split into three separate trials. And a Fluvanna County woman invents a wearable device to help breastfeeding mothers. This is the WMRA Daily for Thursday, June 18. Officials at Shenandoah National Park have reported an uptick in a very contagious stomach bug impacting hikers along the Appalachian Trail. They suspect norovirus and warn it could lead to dehydration. Hikers are advised to bury their waste at least 8 inches deep and at least 200 feet away from water sources, campsites, and trails. Officials say that the best way to protect from the virus is to avoid sharing food, water, or personal items. The Ark of Harrisonburg-Rockingham is offering a new food distribution program to provide free produce for community members in need. The Daily News Record reports that the Northeast Neighborhood Food Market is a collaboration with the Blue Ridge Area Food Bank. It takes place on the third Wednesday of each month from 11:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the Lucy Sims Center in Harrisonburg. So the next market will be on July 15th. No ID or proof of eligibility is required for the food distribution event. Available produce will vary based on what is in season. You can find more information at thearkofhr, that's one word, .org/produce-market. The case involving the Natural Bridge Zoo will spawn at least three separate trials, some of which may not come until next year. Cardinal News reports the Rockbridge County judge in the case has split it into one trial against the three members of the Mogensen family that has owned the zoo, one against a former elephant handler, and one against a veterinarian accused of forging a document related to Asha the elephant. No trial dates were set, but the judge and multiple attorneys agreed to return to court on August 3rd to hear various motions. Early voting begins for most localities in Virginia today. Megan Moore with VPM News reports.
Early voting starts this week in Virginia ahead of the August 4th primaries for U.S. Congress and some local races. Many voters will start casting ballots on Thursday due to the Juneteenth holiday. The following localities will start early voting on Friday: the counties of Campbell, Lunenburg, Powhatan, and Russell, and the city of Fredericksburg. Primary elections in Virginia are party-specific, which means voters will choose either the Democratic or Republican ballots. General registrars' offices across the Commonwealth and select polling stations will accept early ballots through Saturday, August 1st. To find all early voting locations, as well as locality-specific ballot drop-box information, visit elections.virginia.gov for more info. Primary winners will advance to November's general election.
Megan Moore reporting. While budget negotiators in Richmond continue their work, Virginia's Senate president is continuing her tour of Virginia localities to hear from residents about data centers. Radio IQ's Brad Kuttner attended one such event near Richmond.
Portsmouth Democrat and Senate President Louise Lucas is famously less than subtle, and her data center listening tour, held at Manchester High School a few miles outside of Richmond Tuesday night, was no exception.
Can y'all give it up for Senator L. Louise Lucas, President Pro Tem of the Senate of Virginia?
Data centers should be properly sited. They should be responsibly regulated, ensure that they're not polluting our air and water. They should not abuse our energy, our water system in ways that affect our families and our communities.
Among speakers was Dominique Chatters, a Chesterfield County School Board member who opened her speech in Spanish because...
My communities are black and brown, families who are working multiple jobs, multiple Title I schools.
In her view, taxing data centers could help build up the communities around them. She's not opposed to innovation, but...
I'm opposed to asking our communities to absorb the costs while corporations receive enormous tax incentives.
For their part, the data center industry pushes back on many of these claims, both environmental and financial. And while the state doesn't tax data centers as broadly, localities do, and that adds up to over $5 billion in state and local taxes in the last 2 years. As for the jobs, Don Slayman of the Electricians Union, IBEW 26, said they've added tens of thousands of data center construction jobs in Virginia.
We can't afford to lose all these great six-figure careers. We doubled our membership.
Legislators and Governor Abigail Spanberger must agree to a budget by July 1. In Richmond, I'm Brad Kuttner.
Governor Abigail Spanberger announced Wednesday that she has joined a multi-state coalition to protect reproductive freedoms. The Virginia Mercury reports that the Reproductive Freedom Alliance supports legislation and ballot referendums to protect those rights and helps states stockpile mifepristone, an abortion and miscarriage management drug. Mifepristone has been subject to legal challenges, with opponents pushing for a national ban on mailing the medication. Besides Spanberger, other participants in the 24-member alliance include the governors of Maryland, California, New York, and New Jersey. Finally today, 60% of new mothers stop breastfeeding before they intended to. A Fluvanna County woman invented a wearable device that assesses breast milk quantity, composition, and a baby's latch to help mothers troubleshoot problems and breastfeed longer and with confidence. Christine Cuter has that story.
That's the sound Jenny Lynn Walden's newborn daughter made for nearly 2 months straight. Walden, who wanted to exclusively breastfeed her child, just couldn't console her.
There's so many different types of cries. I've heard some babies that are just like, wah, wah. I'm like, oh, they're good. Her cry was heart-wrenching and just like gut-twisting.
Worse, Walden's daughter didn't gain weight. Doctors called it failure to thrive and told Walding to track feedings and weigh the baby before and after nursing, which she dutifully did. She also used a breast pump and silicone nipple shields to improve the baby's latch. That's the way a child's mouth is positioned to effectively transfer milk. Neither of which helped.
She's falling off of her growth curve and she is not intaking. And what does that mean? Like, where is that coming from? Is that a mom problem? Which is what a lot of people want to make you believe, because we're not really in the business of blaming babies, but they're their own human and they bring their own challenges as well.
Walding developed mastitis, blisters, and bruises on her breasts. By the time a doctor identified and treated her daughter's tongue tie 7 weeks later, that's a congenital condition that reduces the tongue's range of motion, a battered Walding had an epiphany.
I kept looking at this nipple shield and I was just like, This is dumb. I love to hate it. I hate to love it. Why am I not getting more insight?
Walding, who'd worked in marketing, searched patent libraries for devices that measured breast milk output, assessed a baby's latch, and evaluated milk composition. Nothing did all those things.
We say, you know what? The gold standard for infant feeding is breastfeeding. Breast is best. Breast is best. We drill that into our moms. And yet we don't offer support, we don't offer research, or I should say limited research, we don't offer solutions, and even we have people that are tech adverse.
About 84% of new moms initiate breastfeeding, but only about 1 in 4 babies is exclusively breastfed for the first 6 months, as recommended by the American Academy of Pediatrics. 3/5 of American women stop breastfeeding before they intend to, due to pain, fatigue, and milk supply concerns. Nearly 1/4 of newborns get formula in their first 2 days of life.
That's our angle, is capturing the duality of breastfeeding. So the milk transfer, so from breast into baby's mouth, how much milk is flowing, and because we are a dual-sided sensor, and we also believe and know that babies bring their own challenges to breastfeeding, what's going on in their mouth? Because we need to remove the subjectivity from the space of infant feeding.
To date, Walding's earned $75,000 in grants, which helped her apply for 2 patents, create models, and develop and refine the tech. Now she's pitching hard for what she hopes comes next.
So bring them out.
A working prototype and clinical trials. For that, she needs $1.5 million. But Walding's not deterred. She thinks her company could birth $350 million.
The fact that a creature's sole sustenance is coming from your body is, it's a huge undertaking, but it's also, there's a lot of power in that. So if we sit and think about the value of human milk, I mean, it literally is like gold. And that's why I need the moms, I need the researchers, I need the investors. Like, if there is a takeaway, is human milk will set us free. I really believe that.
Once mass-produced, the smart nipple shield, called MilkMaid, would cost $350 and include a 6-month subscription to the breastfeeding app. Reporting from Lake Monticello, I'm Christine Cuter.
For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoy your Thursday.